Okay, today's Daf is Lamed Aleph. We're going to start at the bottom. We're just finishing up from the topic of yesterday about Edim standing or sitting, right? Or really the Baal Edinim, that they're supposed to be standing and the Edim are supposed to be standing. And then there was this debate about whether the Baal Edinim have to stand or not, but for sure, and as whether the Baal Edinim, are allowed to sit, right? But clearly the Edim have to stand. We saw that from Moshe, how they stood, also the Edim, Vamdushne Anashim, we said we were referring to Edim for sure. And then, remember, we started up, Vamdushne Anashim was referring to Edim, and that was to prove that women can't testify. Then we said, Vamdushne Anashim also includes not only the Edim, but the Baal Edinim, in the sense that they have to stand. So now there's a case where Rav Yemar have a yadale sahadute lemar zutra. If you remember, then the whole issue was that if a Talmid Chacham comes in and he's a Baal Din, then we allow him to sit. And then if he's up against someone else who's not a Talmid Chacham, then we also offer that person to sit, and then they can decide whatever they want. But and the whole thing is not to create an imbalanced situation where the judge is going to favor the Talmid Chacham. Rav Yemar have a yadale sahadute lemar zutra. So Rav Yemar now we're switching from Baal Edinim to Edim. Now Edim, it was clear they're supposed to stand. But Rav Yemar knew this testimony from our zutra. Atal kameda memar, he goes before a memar, udvin hu lekulu. So what did he say? He said, everyone's going to sit, because if the Edim are going to sit, because he wanted Rav Yemar to sit, he was an aid. He wanted out of respect for Talmid Chacham. But then he couldn't not have everybody else sit. So basically, he had everybody sit. I'm sorry, he couldn't have everybody else stand. So Amalei Rav Ashi la Meimar. So Rav Ashi says to Meimar, Hamar Ula machloket b'Baal Edinim. Aval b'Edim divrei hakol b'amidah. Didn't Ula say that the machloket's all about the Baal Edinim? But everyone agrees that the Edim have to stand. So what does he say? Amalei hai aseh v'hai aseh. There's two mitzvot aseh here that are conflicting. One is amdu shnei anashim, the Edim should stand. And the other is that the mishum kvodat Torah, we should let them sit. So what do they say? Aseh dechvodat Torah adif. So which one's going to outrule the other one? The mitzvah of kvodat Torah. Okay, now from here we're going to move into this siman about the upcoming things. We're going to have 13, I think, statements of things having to do with judges and courts and things kind of, we're going to start with midvar sheker to chak, ways that we should avoid straying from the truth, okay? It's not exactly shkarim, but it's things that are kind of like lying, tricking, in the din. Tanu Rabbanan, minayim l'dayan shelo yaseh sanigorin l'dvarav. How do we know that he shouldn't? Now it's a little unclear what this means, okay? Rashi says, im dan din v'libo nokfo lomar shihu to'ah, lo yafzik dvarav la'vi rayot la'midam. If the Dayan has a sense that his way is right, but he's not really sure about it, he shouldn't start trying to prove his side, give all sorts of proofs, proofs it would be good, but he shouldn't try to defend his position very strongly when he doesn't fully believe in it. Okay, some people say he shouldn't be a sanigor, he shouldn't give claims to one of the sides, because that's unfair. Okay, exactly what the sanigor is not clear. Okay, Talmud Amar Midvar Sheker Tuchak. Uminayan L'dayan Shelo Yeshev Talmid Bor Lefanav. Talmud Amar Midvar Sheker Tuchak. A Dayan shouldn't have a Talmid who doesn't know anything give him advice about how to rule in the case. Okay, because again, he might end up listening to him when the guy really doesn't know what he's talking about. Uminayan L'dayan Sheyodeh L'chavero Shu Gazlan. V'chein Eid Sheyodeh B'chavero Shu Gazlan. Milayan Shelo Yitzteref Imo. If a Dayan is on a panel with other judges, and he knows that one of the judges is a Gazlan is Pasul, not only to be an Aid, but obviously to be a Dayan. So if he knows that, or an Aid that knows that the person who's coming to testify with him is a Gazlan, how do we know that he shouldn't join him in testimony? Right? If you happen to be the two Aidim, he shouldn't go to court with him. Or if you're on a panel of judges, you shouldn't rule with him. Talmud Lamar Midvar Sheker Tuchak. Okay, if you know the guy's not a good guy and is going might possibly lie, then you should stay away from that.
But you're required to go give the testimony. So how do you avoid?
So in other words, in theory, if the guy's a
fine, obviously you shouldn't. But in practice, how do you? I mean, if the idea is not to tell, but simply to stay away,
right?
Then how do you say, "Well, I've got testimony, but I'm not going to give testimony"? I don't get the logistics of that.
Right. Well, because it works like this. It's very simple. if you know testimony, you're the only person who knows testimony, then you don't have to go to court and say anything about it because you need two witnesses. In this case, there's basically only one aid because the guy's pasul ha'id. If you know he's a gazlan, then he's pasul ha'id. So you don't actually have... You don't have two witnesses.
But it doesn't sound like you're saying you should also expose the fact that that person is a thief.
It's true. It doesn't say
same
that.
Same thing for the judge. I mean, shouldn't the judge have an obligation to let other...
Right. So maybe it does. It's true. It's true. I mean, maybe they're just not telling you this year, but, you know, okay. You should do that also. But the point is that this is considered as if there's really only one aid, in which case you're not chayav. Remember, you're only chayav in a case where you could have brought it to court. In this case, you can't bring it to court because you're the only witness. It could be that they're just focusing on a different dimension. We actually saw this in Sanhedrin, the same thing. The lo yeshe bedin, and you shouldn't associate. They're almost like saying, don't even, like if somebody, and as had you become a witness with this other person, generally it's because somebody said, let's go, you know, please come watch what I'm going to do right now. You know, I want you to be my witnesses. So he should from the beginning basically say, thanks, but no thanks. I'm not willing to go into this with you. It could be also he doesn't have proof that the guy's a gazlan, so it's also tricky. In other words, you know, what he's supposed to do in that case if he doesn't have proof, so he can't necessarily go convict him. But that's why I think it's she'adua shehu. He knows, but it's not like he can prove it. Minayin l'dayan she'odeh abedin shehu merumeh. Here's another case where you know something's not right. You know the edim are lying, but you can't prove it. So you're sitting as a judge in a case. It's clear to you that the edim are lying. Again, you don't really know, you don't have proof, but you're very sure about it. Shelo yomar ho'il v'ha'edim mi'edim achatchenu v'yehe kolar taloy b'tzavar ha'edim. You shouldn't say, look, I can't prove them wrong, so what should I do? I'll just judge based on what they're saying, even though I know they're lying. And the kolar, right? Remember that kolar? It's the thing that they would, I think they would hang people on, or they would just...
A chain around their necks.
So the chain will be around their necks. In other words, I'm absolving myself of responsibility. I judged according to the letter of the law. The letter of the law said if there's two edim and you can't knock them out, well, we prove, you know, and the fact that they're liars, well, that's their problem. And the fact that I'm now taking money out of the wrong person because of their lies, it's not my responsibility, it's theirs. So now the question is, so what are you supposed to do? So the Rishonim talk about one option is for you to basically keep inquiring into the witnesses until you basically can prove that they're lying. So in other words, your job as a judge is to continue drishan chakiran, asking as many possible questions to try to figure out where you can prove that they're lying. But if you can't, then what do? Then you just say, I'm not really willing to judge this case. Okay? You just remove yourself. Which is a little tricky also, because it's hard. If the judge says, I'm not willing to judge this case, it's his responsibility to judge the case. But the point is, if you're really convinced that they're lying, but you can't prove it, so you have nothing else to do, so you should just remove yourself. Okay, another number of statements. Here are simanim for what they are. Minayin l'tamid sheyoshev lefnei rabo v'ro'ez zchud la'ani v'chov la'ashir. Minayin shelo yishtok. If you're a tamid sitting before your rabbi and you see an ashir and an ani fighting, and you have a way to show a tzad zchud for the ani and to say that the ashir is responsible, how do you know that you shouldn't be silent? Tamud lamar midvar sheker tzarchak. Okay, in other words, you have a right to speak up and say to the judges what you think. If you see your rabbi making a mistake, right, it's a very tricky situation. There's kavod harav here. What are you supposed to do? Shelo yomar amtin lo ad shigmerenu v'asatrenu ve'evnenu mishali kedei sheikarei hadin al shmi. Don't use this as an opportunity to raise yourself up by saying, let's let him finish the deen. Once the deen is over, I'll come in and I'll say, hey, by the way, there was a mistake. And then what's going to happen? Oh, people are going to say, oh, look, he judged the case. And it's going to make you look like a star. Minayin that you shouldn't do that. Talmud lomar midvar sheker tirchak. You have a responsibility before he judges the case, before he decides the case, to speak up. And what it's saying here is basically, get rid of your ego. In the end, you'll make him do the right thing. It'll be said that the judge ruled the case and you won't get any credit, but that's not, you know, you shouldn't be looking for the credits. It's more important to tell the truth. Now, in the end, you can imagine in a situation like this, he might end up, it's a better way to get to rise up in power because then the rabbi will also respect you for the fact that you pointed it out to him. מנהי לתלמיד שאמר לרבו, יודע תמבי שאם נותנים לי מאה מנה, איני מוודא. What if you have a case where the Rav says to the Talmid, you know that if someone would give me mea, you know about me.
Even if someone gave me mea maneh, why
would they be giving him money?
To bribe, I wouldn't.
1 second. Because then he's basically going to say, "Mane yesh li etzal ploni ve'ein li alav ela ed echad." He's basically saying, "Don't you know that you would trust me? That anything I say, I wouldn't be lying." But what's the? Just 1 second. Right, you know that. Oh, that's what it means. Right. I'm sorry. Now I understand what you're saying. Right. So if anyone were to give me mea maneh, right, I still wouldn't lie. If you gave me $1 million, I wouldn't lie. You know that. And therefore, I'm telling you like this. I got confused because of the mea maneh and the maneh. It's not the same thing. So what does he say now? Maneh yesh li etzal ploni. I gave 100 maneh to so-and-so. And ainli alav ela ed echa, but I only have one aid to prove it. So since you know that I'm an honest guy, and you know I wouldn't take bribes, minayin shaleit serefimo, why don't you join in, you have my word, why don't you be an aid together with that other aid, and say that you know I own the money. Tamud lamar mitvar sheker tuchak. Sorry, and you know that he owes me the money. Okay, so go out to bat for me, even though you didn't see it, but just claim that you saw it.
I wouldn't lie, so I'm asking you to lie.
Yeah, so first, so now the Gemara says, this is a crazy thing. It's not possible. This is what they mean. Hai midvar sheker tirchak. Nafka. You're going to learn this out from midvar sheker tirchak. What is far sheker tirchak so far? We've used it as keep away from anything that smells of untruth. This isn't something that smells of untruth. This is habadai shikuri kamashaker. This is mamash lo taneh berechai shaker. You're getting up. You're lying in court. Rachman Amar lo taneh berecha et sheker. Ela kigon de amarle, but it's not that. That's not the case. This is what he said to him. Vadak chad sada itle. I definitely have one good aid. Bita ata kum hatam. All I'm asking for you is not to go testify, but go into court with my one aid, so that it looks like I'm bringing two witnesses to court. Velo tame avalo midi. But don't say a word. In other words, I don't want you to lie. Okay, in other words, I don't want you to lie for me. Of course I'm not, right? Like Ruth said, what do you mean? Of course he's not asking him to lie. That would be crazy. But what he's saying is I want you to go into court. What's the point? If he doesn't really have two witnesses, what's the difference whether it looks like he has two witnesses? Because if it looks like he has two witnesses, then what will happen? He's hoping, since he does have one witness and he knows it's the truth, he's hoping to intimidate the other side so that the other side will say, oh, he's got two witnesses, or, you know, I'll just admit it. Okay, I'll just get up and admit that I have the money. So, afilu haki asur mishum shenemar midvar sheker tochak. That's also not appropriate, okay? Even though you're not actually testifying falsely, but to get up and make it look as if you're testifying falsely. So we say midvar sheker tochak. Minayin lenosheva chavero maneh shelo yomar. Okay, how do we know that if somebody is trying to collect money from another? Shelo yomar at anenu b'matayin kedei shiyodeli b'mane v'itchayev lishvua v'agalgel alav shvua mimakom acher. Tamud lamar mitvar sheker tirchak. Okay, we need a little background before we start explaining this case. Let's say somebody says, you owe me 100 shekel, okay? But in addition, he owes him money for something else. Now, the money he owes him for something else, he can't get the guy to take a shvua for. Because there's only certain ways you can be mechayev shvua. If Eid Echad comes, so you can be mechayev shvua. But there's something called a gilgul shvua, which we've seen before, which is once you already have a chiyuv shvua, then you can have the guy, if let's say you owe me a shvua, okay, for example, the case we're going to bring is a moda b'miktzah. If somebody says, you owe me 200, and then you say, I only owe you 100, that's called moda b'miktzah, you have to take a shvua. So if I get you to take that shvua and you owe me money in other contexts, but I can't get you to, I can't, there's no chiyuv for you to swear, then I can do what's called a gilgul shvua. I can say, well, once you're already swearing on that, so swear on some other stuff. So let's say you owe me 100, but I claim in court that you owe me 200. In order that, you'll say, what are you talking about? I only owe you 100, which is the truth. And then you're considered modeh b'mikzah, because I made up the fact that you owe me 200, but I'm claiming you owe me 200. So you're modeh b'mikzah. Nobody knows I'm lying. You're modeh b'mikzah. You're chayav shvua, and then I can be megalgel shvua that you owe me money somewhere else. And what's the case? You owe me 100, and you're willing to pay me that 100, but you also owe me for something else, but I can't get that money from you. So I'll just lie and say, you owe me 200 so that I can get you to take the shvua and say, well, I swear I don't owe you the other 100. And once you're doing that, I'll make you do a shvua on something else. So how do you know that you can't do that? Because mivarshak or tochah, because you're lying and saying that you owe me 200. So now we're going to see the case a little in the reverse. So that was, okay, let's just read it inside again. I'll claim he owes me 200. So that he'll admit that he owes me 100. And then I'll go get a lot of shvua from my kamacher, and I'll get him to pay what he owes me. You know, I'll get him to swear about the other thing. So Talmud Amar Midrash Sheker Tochak. So now the case is, minayim l'noshev chavero maneh, v'tano matayim. Let's say you're the other guy, okay? And you, he owes you, he says you owe him 100. I'm sorry, he, one second. L'noshev chavero maneh, v'tano matayim. So, shalom ha chaprenu bebeitim, v'odeh lo chutz lebeitim. Kedo shalo et chayev shvua, v'lo yogel alay shvua mimakom acher. Let's say, you think you owe 100, but the guy claims you owe him 200. So what are you able to say? You say, I'm not going to admit in court, right? What am lo yomar achaprenu bebeitin ve'ode lo chutz lebeitin. You're not going to go and say, listen, I'm going to admit what I owe him. I'm going to go into court and say, I don't owe you any money. And then I'm going to go outside court and say, well, I do actually owe you 100. Okay, and not 200. And why would you do this? In order not to be chayv, you're only modeh b'mikzah if you do it in the court. So if you go into court, what's the issue? The guy claims you owe him 200, but you only owe him 100, but you know that you owe him something for something else. It's the exact reverse of the other case. It's from the perspective of the nitba. So he says, the guy's claiming I owe him 200. I don't owe him 200, but I don't want to go to court and do that, because if I go to court and I say, I only owe you 100, they're going to make me swear on the rest, and I know he's going to be megalgel shvua and make me swear on the other thing. So what does he do? He says, I'm going to basically deny in court that I owe you anything. And then outside the court, which won't be a modeh b'mikzah, it's only in the court that I'm chayav shvua. Outside the court, I'll go to him personally. I'll say, listen, it's true. I do owe you 100, and here's the 100. So you can't do that, because you can't lie in court. No, that's for Sheker Chochak. Even though you're ultimately not lying, because you are planning to pay him back the 100, but you're just trying to avoid the Shvua, you can't do that.
You're going to court altogether if you're going to settle outside of court.
Well, the point is, he's only trying to settle outside of court because he's worried that the guy's going to do a Gilgul Shvua on him.
But he can't. They just said he can't do a Gilgul Shvua in that case. Then we just say he
can't. Well, what does it mean he can't? He can technically, but he shouldn't, because it's trickery. But in this case, the guy already claimed he owed him 200. The guy already, and as you're right, the guy shouldn't have done that. But the person who claims he owed him money already lied. Or we don't know. Maybe
he didn't lie.
Maybe he didn't lie.
He actually said the
right.
exact amount that he really believes he owes him.
Right, it could
100
be.
100 plus the 60 that he owed him that he couldn't take a shua on.
Oh, you
that
think?
That's not a lie. That's actually
no, but that lie. Right, but that's not the lie.
That's
no,
not what they're talking
no,
about.
That's not what they're talking about. Okay? Now, it could be the guy wasn't lying, but the guy thinks he's lying. In other words, he remembers 100, and the guy remembers 200, and maybe it wasn't a case where the first guy was trying to take advantage of it, but he was worried that maybe the guy's trying to take advantage of him. Okay? So it's like, it's both sides of the same story. Let's say three people are joint partners or something, and they're all claiming this guy owes them money. But instead of them all going to court to claim it, they don't have witnesses. So what's the smart thing? There are three people. Shelo yehe echa baldin u'shnayim edim kedei sheyotzi umana v'yachloku. Okay, in other words, obviously, what's the problem? If the two people become witnesses in the situation, now, it might be true that they're witnesses because maybe they were there when they did the etzek. The problem is what? They're no geber davar, right? They're karov etzel atzmo, right? They're not allowed to testify because the money affects them. So you can't like put up a front that claiming the money really is only one of theirs and the other two are witnesses. Can't obviously do that. Minayin l'shnayim shabau l'din. Echad lavush, this is a very interesting halacha. Echad lavush smartutin. Ve'echad lavush itzdelit, bat me'amana. Okay, one is wearing shmatas And one is wearing a beautiful, fancy, schmancy clothes. Shomrin lo levosh kemoto, o he'll be shul kemotcha. Okay, if that's the case, what do they say in the courtim? They say either you dress in smartutim or the other guy should dress in fancy clothes because it's an unfair, right? It creates an imbalance. It's like the standing and sitting thing. In order to avoid sheker in the mishpat, they both have to be dressed alike, which is very interesting. Hard to imagine that we would actually be mockpit on like how, you know, I can imagine, right? You think about it, like the court has a stash of clothes, like fancy ones and not fancy ones, depending on which way they want to go. I think like when you come to school and you don't have your semel beit sefer, you know, or a skirt. In my high school, I remember there was, you know, the skirt, the long skirt that they would keep in the office for the girls who didn't. You know, some schools just send you home and others say, no, we have here skirts. I think there was one school I remember hearing where, or I somehow remember, like they would rent it to you for like 5 seconds. I don't know where I heard that, but I feel like I've heard that somewhere.
I had jury duty in America, and I was told that this is what you must wear. You must wear the jury. Men must wear suits. Women must wear da da da. I don't
that's
remember.
That's very interesting.
Was, yeah,
that's your fan. Okay, so that's the jury, not the balei din, but it's
still,
right. Exactly. It's the same idea that there's that your clothes affect. We've seen this in many cases of Kohen Gadol, and you know your clothes affect the way people perceive you. Ki hava ata lekamedia Rava Barav Huna. Amar lehu shlufu puz mukaychu. Take off your shoes, your fancy shoes. Okay, he would say this if somebody walks in with these very fancy shoes. Take off your fancy shoes, v'chutu ledina and tirdu ledin. Okay, and come down for judgment. Minayin ledayan shelo yishma divrei baldin kodem sheyavo baldin chavero. We saw this yesterday. He shouldn't listen to one before the other's even in the court. Tamud lamar midvar sheker tirchak. He shouldn't try to give a reason for his position before the other guy comes. Rav Kahana matne mi lo tisa, lo tasi. Rav Kahana learns the same halacha, but not from Dvar Sheker Tirchak. He learns it from lo tisa, from the pasuk, right? Lo tisa shem hashav, al tashe yedcha, Im Rasha liot ed Hamas. Okay, you shouldn't be a false witness. But here, what does he say? Lo tisa is lo tasi. You shouldn't, how do they translate it?
Cause.
Okay, you shouldn't cause something to be lashav, which basically means, right, you shouldn't cause things to be imbalanced. Vashir lo tov asabato hamav. What do we do with this pasuk? Okay, this is a pasuk in Yechezkel. It's Aviv ki ashak oshek gazal. Gazal gezel ach ba'asher lo tov asah b'toch hamav v'hine meit ba'avono. Okay, someone who doesn't do good within his nation, he will die in his avono. Notice it doesn't say someone who does something bad. It says someone who doesn't do something good or who does no good. It's a little bit strange what this means. And we're going to see two things that are not necessarily totally wrong, but they're maybe not the best way to act. Rav Amar, and this is you're going to find very surprising. Zehaba Bahar Sha'a. Okay, this is someone who comes with, what does it mean? With a lawyer, basically. Okay, someone who comes to argue the case on behalf of somebody else. Okay, which is interesting, right? We use lawyers all the time. And that's why I say this doesn't say this is something bad, but this says that this is something that's not so great for the lawyer to come in and start arguing the case for somebody else. So now there's a lot that was said about this, as you can imagine. Some people say it's only when he's like a very savvy lawyer and it's going to create an unfair advantage for the other side. Now, this goes on all the time, right? Where one side might have a much better lawyer and the other side can't afford to go with the highest priced lawyer and ends up with a lawyer not as good and can't argue his case properly. So you can see why this isn't such a great thing to have someone come and argue the point, even though we're very used to this, right? But you could see how it would create an unfair advantage.
What does the word harsha'a actually mean?
Harsha'a means that it's like, I think the best way to translate it, a yipui koch, where, what do you call it? A power of attorney. Power of attorney. It's basically someone who comes in and says, I have power of attorney to argue the case for somebody else. Some people say that the issue is that since it's not your money you're arguing about, you're not going to compromise as much because you don't know what the other person would want. Okay?
Right.
Yeah. So the idea here being, again, what's exactly wrong with this would affect how we view lawyers today. If you say that we're worried he might not be able to compromise, well, that wouldn't be relevant nowadays because the lawyer always comes with the person. So the person's right there and he can figure out.
They also say that this is only if they're both in the same city. But if you have to argue someone's case who's not around to argue, then of course you can go argue their case. So there's all different ways that they... What's interesting about it is always... It's always interesting when there's a very simple halacha said, and yet the mefarshim all go off in different directions about cases where it is mutar, and clearly it was something that people weren't exactly able to stand by. And also people say... Again, this just is low tov. It doesn't mean that, right? And this is why people say don't go into, you know, lawyers are always conniving and law's not, you know, beware of lawyers. So you can see that the Gemara is also saying, you know, it's a little dangerous to have these savvy lawyers try to argue your position. But however, there's many ways to say that it's okay and there's no issue. And it's not exactly viewed as it's usher to do this, okay? Right, it does say make bavono, right?
Make bavono.
Yes, it is. It is a little strong. First of all, it's not from the Torah; it's a pasuk from Yechezkel. And again, the fact that he's learning it from the, he's just trying to say what's a maaseh that's low tov. Well, this is again, it depends how you view it. Is it that he's coming in and, you know, for what reason is he doing this, and how is he doing it, etc. Okay, it's a difficult. You know, it's a difficult passage in terms of, in light of what we know nowadays and what we do. Ushmuel Amar, Zeh Halokach Sadeh Sheyesh Alav Asikim. Okay, I forgot to mention, and this connects with the next one, which is another reason people say this is that you're butting into somebody else's business. Is, what do you have in this case? This has nothing to do with you. This has to do with the two of them. Why are you getting involved? Okay, which might be different if the person asks you to get involved, right? If they hire you as their lawyer, so they're asking you to get involved. But otherwise, if you just come in and say, right, this goes on, I know in school it's always like that, right? There's always the kid who, every time some of the teacher says something, you know, against some kid, so they're the ones supporting, right? What are you getting involved for? This isn't your issue, you know? They always say, oh, that kid's going to be the lawyer, you know? He's always arguing everybody's case for them. So it's like that, okay? And the second case is somewhat similar, which is, if you buy a field where already it's unclear who the owner of the property is, there's a big fight about whose property this is, and you go in and you purchase it from one of the people, right? And you know that you're going to get into a fight about this because you know that, right, this is lo tov asa. Don't go buying property that's already, there's a whole fight about it because you're just getting into it. And it's a similar thing then, if you go by the last thing I said about the first case, which is you're butting into somebody else's business, you're going to get involved in some machloket that has nothing to do with you, and stay away from machlokot. You know, and then really, both of them are saying, lo tov asa is, you know, avoid getting into confrontation with people that really you have no place in. Okay, we have to go back to the Mishnah now. The Mishnah had listed all the people who Shvur Eidur is relevant for and all who are not relevant for. We said Rechokim, not Krovim, Ksherim, Lopsulim, men, not women. Now, wouldn't that be the same as all we just said? The Ruyin Lahaid. So what's this coming to include? Lafuke Mai, Lotzi, which case? Amara Papa Lafuke Melech. Okay, a king wasn't mentioned here, and a king, if you remember from Sanhedrin 2nd Parak, a king can't be an aid. Rav Acha bar Yaakov amar lafuke mesachik bekubia. Why mesachik bekubia? This is someone who gambles. Someone who gambles can't be a witness either for one of two reasons. One, because it's a smachta, meaning nobody ever really thought, nobody put their money down with the intent to actually lose it, in which case you're basically taking stolen money and you're like a thief. The other reason was because he's a no-sik b'yishuvah shalom. It means like a full-time gambler. He doesn't have a real job. And then he's basically looking for a quick fix, and we're worried he's going to take, he might take money to lie falsely. Why is he excluded here? Why wouldn't he be in the psulim? Because there, we're assuming shvur ha'edut applies to psulim midoraita. This guy is a psul midrabanan. So you would say maybe the shvur ha'edut applies only to those who are, it applies even to those who are kasher midoraita, but pasul midrabanan. So here it comes to teach you, even if you're pasul midrabanan and kasher midoraita, you still, the shvur ha'edut wouldn't be relevant for you. And the Masachi B'kubiya is a pasul ha'edut that the rabbis were machadesh. So therefore, it's only asher midrabanan, therefore you might have thought, maybe you are in a shvur ha'edut. But comes to tell you, no. Manda amar Masachik B'kubiya koshke melech. If you say it's talking about Masachik B'kubiya, obviously a melech. But if you said it would be melech, and then if you said it's the king it's coming to exclude, then dafka you would think that meschik b'kubiya would be chayav shvuat eidut, because midoraita he actually could be a witness. Bifnei beitin v'shelo bifnei beitin. So now we had this whole thing about bifnei beitin. Okay, let's organize it for a minute. Okay, we have, if you come mipi atzmo, okay, then if you're bifnei, okay, according to Rabbi Meir, whether you did it before Beit Din, or whether you did it, I'm sorry, whether you, right, or whether you did it not before the Beit Din, if you come ipi atzmo, you're going to be chayav. But Chachamim said, if this whole thing is only shebifnei Beit Din and not shelo bifnei Beit Din. So if you take a shvura eidut outside the court, Chachamim think that you're not responsible. Okay, you don't have to bring a korban. And why is that? Because the pasuk says, okay, what's the, 1 second, sorry. I wanted to say one other thing. Before we get there, there's mipi atzmo and there's mipi acherim, right? There's also, what if others tell you to take a shvua? So the pasuk starts out, okay, with this shama kol Allah, v'hu eid o ra'ah yada. You remember that? It says shama kol Allah. So the assumption is, what's kol Allah? He heard a kol Allah, which is a shvua. What kind of shvua did he hear? He heard someone telling him, you should take a shvua, meaning the person who wanted him to testify for him says, swear that you want to give testimony, or we'll see what kind of lishonot he can say. That's mipi acherim. So the pshat of the pasuk is it's talking about mipi acherim. And if it's mipi acherim, the assumption is, it's within the court, where he's, right, the whole thing is, im lo yagiv in asavo, no, lo yagiv, meaning if he doesn't tell, well, what does it mean? Just like he has to be ra'oi la'id, he also has to be in a place where it's ra'oi la'id. So therefore, we assume it all has to take place in front of Beit Din. So the simple pshat is, it's mipi acherim, and it's in the court. However, they add mipi atzmo, and then the question is, when it's mipi atzmo, is if you come on your own without someone telling you, you have to testify, but you say, I swear I don't know anything about this case, even though nobody asked you, do you know anything about this case? If you come forward and you swear there's a machloket, if you did this outside the court, if you be chayav or not. Okay, so we're going to talk about this machloket and what the source is, why there's a machloket. So again, Rabbi Meir will say, you are chayav outside the court, and Chachamim say you're not. So now we're going to try to figure out why. We're going to give two different explanations. B'mai kamiflegei. Amruha Rabbanan kameja Rav Papa. The rabbis came and said before Rav Papa, this is their machlok. Bidon mina umina. Bidon mina va'okei ba'atra kamiflugei. Remember we saw this before? When you learn something from a different place, do you learn everything out from that place? Or do you learn a general principle from that place, but then it has the criteria that apply to that particular unique situation? So how does it work? Rabbi Meir Savar don mina umina. Mipikadon. Rabbi Meir says we learn this out from Shvuat Pikadon, and we learn it out entirely from Shvuat Pikadon. Okay, meaning whatever's true for Shvuat Pikadon is true. Now let's talk for a minute about Shvuat Pikadon. What's a Shvuat Pikadon? The guy says you're watching something of mine. You have it in your property, and I say I don't know what you're talking about, and I swear. Now where do I swear? There, the assumption is you're outside of court because he comes to your house. He says, you know, he comes to your door. He says, give me my stuff, and you say, I swear I don't have it. So that's. Number one, it's mipi acherim, okay? The main thing is, it's clearly mipi acherim. You're not offering up, oh, by the way, you know. I'm sorry, no. I said that wrong. Wait a minute. It's dafka mipi atzmo because, wait. There the pasuk says, a minute. Right, 1 sec. There the pasuk says, Yafina Shvara Yidu B'Gzara Shavana Tifta, Tivo Shvara Pikadon. Right, it says, Kol Asher Yishava, here, 1 second. The pasuk is, Omi Kol Asher Yishava Alav LaSheker. Okay? Anything that you lie about any ta'ana, which means what? That the shvu is mipi atzmo. Okay? So now, I just want to make it clear. So there's Pikadon. The case in the Torah, Pikadon is mipi atzmo. And the case in the Torah of Ha'edut is mipi acherim because of, okay, so let's just write it out. This is because it says, mikol asher yishava alav, okay, which seems to imply anything you swear, even mipi atzmo, that's pikadon. And Edut is mipi acherim because it says, v'shama kol alav, okay, because he heard someone swear, which means it was mipi acherim, okay? So that's the first thing you have to know. Then, okay, that's the first issue. So now the question is, the Shvuat HaPikadon is also Michutz LeBeitin. And the Shvuat HaEidut's classic case is B'toch Beitin. Okay? Because that's where testimony happens, right? That's where you should be testifying, and therefore the classic case is B'toch Beitin. So the question is like this. Rabbi Meir Savar Jom Minau Minami Pikadon. So now the whole question, remember, is, even though the classic case of Pikadon is B'toch Beit Din, The question is, and I'm sorry, I keep confusing because there's two issues here. The classic case is mipi acherim, but now we want to know, how do we know that you're chayav also mipi atzmo? And we're going to learn that from Shvuat HaPikadon. Okay, we're going to make Gzeirah Shavah and say, just like Shvuat HaPikadon is mipi atzmo, likewise, the Shvuat HaEdut is going to be mipi atzmo. And then the question is, so if we say it's mipi atzmo, we're going to say, well, it's mipi atzmo, and it's also michutz lebeit din, because we're going to learn everything about Shvuat HaPikadon. Or are we going to say, no, we learn the concept of mipi atzmo from there, but then it has the criteria that applies to its own case, which is that it's betoch beit din. Okay, and that's going to be the machlok of Rabbi Meir v'Chachamim. So here we go. Ma pikadon. So Rav Meir Savar do minau mina mi pikadon. So first of all, the thing it doesn't tell you here, Rashi tells you, is there it says techta and there it says techta. Okay, so we're going to make learning zera shava from there. Ma pikadon mushba mi piatzmo chayav. Af edu mushba mi piatzmo chayav. Okay, umina, and then we're going to learn mi piatzmo from pikadon to edut. And then we're going to learn it all the way. Ma pikadon bein bebeitin bein shelo bebeitin, right? It doesn't matter whether it's in court or outside of court. Af eju bein bebeitin u bein shelo bebeitin. And that's what Rabbi Meir says. Mi pi atzmo shelo b'fnei beitin, you're going to be chayav also. For Rabbanan Savre, even though I just want to point out very clearly, Rabbi Meir says when you're in the court, though, it's only mi pi acherim. Because the case in the court is only mi pi acherim. Rabbi Meir agrees that if it's in the court, you're not going to be chayav. If it's in the court, you're not going to be chayav mipi atzmo. Because what's he saying? The mipi, I'm sorry. No. That was the opposite. I keep getting confused by this. I'm really sorry. What he's saying is that mipi acherim, you're only going to be chayav in the court. Because mipi acherim, o shama kol ala, is something that goes on in the court. Okay? And if you're not in the court, you're not going to be chayav if someone makes you swear. You're only going to be chayav when it's mipi atzmo. And therefore, this makes a lot of sense. Because mipi acherim, we learn from Shvuat HaEdut itself. And Shvuat HaEdut itself is only in the Beit Din. But Shvuat HaPikadon, which we're learning, but the mipi atzmo, we're learning from Shvuat HaPikadon. So we're going to learn the way it applies to Shvuat HaPikadon, which is whether you did it b'fnei Beit Din or shelo b'fnei Beit Din. Likewise, when you do this Shvuat HaEdut, mipi atzmo, it's going to apply even outside the court. Okay, that's how it works. And Chachamim would disagree with this and say, what are you talking about? What do they say? The Rabbanan Savrei Dominava, okay, Batra. Ma pikadon mushba mipi atzmo chayav, afeidu mushba mipi atzmo chayav. Yes, we're going to learn that it's also mipi atzmo from pikadon. But okay, Batra, but it's going to obviously be the same as it is in general in Shvuat HaEdut, the ma mushba mipi acherim bebeitin in shalo bebeitin lo, af mushba mipi atzmo bebeitin in shalo befnei beitin lo. Right? But then we're going to learn it. We're not going to make it worse than mipi acherim than it is already in its case, right? We're going to say, it has its own unique thing, which is Shvuat HaEdut is only in the court. So if it happens outside the court, even mipi atzmo, you're not going to be chayav. So that's what the rabbi said to Rav Papa. I'm only Rav Papa. Rav Papa has his own reading. He says, wait a minute. Imi pikadon gamrele, Rabbanan, gamrele Rabbanan, de kule ama lo pligi, de don minau mina. He says, if you're going to say that we learned it out from pikadon, there's no debate about this. Everyone agrees, don minau mina. And therefore, even Rabbi Meir would agree, and even Chachamim would agree, and everyone would say, if you're going to learn it out from there, from this Gzeira Shava, everyone would agree across the board, we're going to learn all the details, which means it's going to even be outside of court. And therefore, I disagree with you. Ela hainu tamad rabbanan. This is why. Demaitule b'kavachomer. They brought a kavachomer. What'd they say? Umami pi acherim. Why did Chachamim say it's going to be mipi atzmo shelo b'fnei beit din? You're not going to be chayav because he learns it from a kavachomer. Umami pi acherim chayav mipi atzmo lo kol shaken. Says since if mipi acherim you're chayav, then obviously, if you come and do this of your own volition, lo kol shekein, it's a kavachomer. Kavachomer, if other people tell you to swear and you swear, all the more so you're going to be chayav if you come of your own volition and swear. Umi demaitel ami kavachomer, tayolavo menadin liyot kanidon. And therefore, if we're learning it out from a kavachomer, it's not going to be any more than the case itself, right? We're learning out this from that. So we're learning out this from that, we're not going to make it apply to more cases. Mamush b'mipi acherim b'beitin in shalom b'beitin lo, ap mushpam b'mipi atzmo b'fnei beitin in shalom b'fnei beitin lo. Okay, and therefore, that's why Chachamim say that that's the situation. Amru le Rabbanan le Rav Papa, but Rabbanan complained to Rav Papa, and they say, mi matit amar et ala b'domi na mina plige? How can you possibly say that that's not the machloka between them, that it really is domi na mina or domi na ukme ba'atra? Perhaps not. How do we know? Because when it comes to Shvuat HaPikadon, remember we said there's a Gzera Shava. Now, Gzera Shava works two ways. So we learn from the Pikadon to Shvuat HaEder, but we're also going to see that we learn from Shvuat HaEder to Pikadon. And how do we do that? It says, Gabe Shvuat HaPikadon, in a few pages we're going to get to this Mishnah. Shvuat HaPikadon noheget ba'anashim u'benashim. Okay, like we saw with the others. It's noheg both men and women. Rechokim u'krovim, k'sherim u'psulim, b'fnei beitin v'shalo b'fnei beitin, mipi atzmo u'mipi acherim. Mipi atzmo, period. Right? So, it applies even b'fnei beitin, even shalo b'fnei beitin, and if he does it of his own volition. U'mipi acherim, but when it comes to mipi acherim, now, what did we say about Shvuat HaPikadon? The classic case of Shvuat HaPikadon is mipi atzmo. It's not that the other guy made him swear. The other guy said, you owe me something, and he said, I swear I don't have it. So now, how do we know that you're chayav mipi acherim? From the Gzera Shava to Pikadon, right? Each one has its own unique case in the Torah, but the Torah is going to learn one from the other. So now we're going to learn from Shvuat HaEder to Shvuat HaPikadon, and note what they're going to learn here. Umipi acherim eino chayav ad shiachpor bo bebeitin, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says what? You're only chayav a shvuat pikadon if somebody else makes you swear if you're in court. Why would that be? The only reason that could possibly be is because we're learning it out from shvuat ha'edud, and shvuat ha'edud is only mi bifnei beitin. So where Rabbi Meir is going to say, don mina umina, we're going to learn it 100%. The Chachamim say, which is going to be don mina v'okei ba'atra, we're going to say, yes, we can learn that it applies also in the also mipi acherim, but we're going to learn that just like it's mipi atzmo across the board, likewise it's mipi acherim across the board, whether it's in the court or whether it's not in the court, because that's domina v'okei ba'atra. So here he says, v'chachamim omrim bein mipi atzmo bein mipi acherim kevan shechafar bo chayav. Right, since he denied it, he's chayav. Mushba mipi acherim bepikadon menale lerabanan dechayav. Right, so where would they say you're chayav here? Lav degamer lemi edut ushma mina dom bedomina umina plige. Okay, and therefore he says that must be the case. So what does Rav Papa answer? Mehi in meha lekalamashra mina. He says yes, you're right. By shvuat pikadon you could say that when you're learning that, but it doesn't mean anything about shvuat edut because he still thinks that shvuat edut we learn it out from a kal vachomer. And therefore, he still thinks that in the first case, it's na domina v'okei ba'atra and domina umina. Only in the pikadon case would it be the case. But here, you can't necessarily say anything about the first case, because there he still thinks it's a kal v'chom. V'chayavin az don hashvua. Now we're just going to finish up the Mishnah, which we explained this all yesterday when we learned the Mishnah. If you remember, what case you chayav in a shvuat ha'edut, you're chayav even if you're mazid. Right? Even if you know you didn't have testimony, you swear about it, and you know you're going to get punished. Your chavinos don't shvuah menani mile. We already said this. Detana rabbanan bekulam ne'amar b'hem b'ne'alam v'kan lo ne'amar b'ne'alam. Right there, it said ne'alam in all the other cases, but here it didn't say ne'alam, and therefore lachayev alam ezik kishogeh. Ba'al shigigatam zdon ha'edut hechidam shigigatam zdon ha'edut. This we also explained yesterday. What does it mean shogeg with zdon ha'edut? Amar Yehuda Marav, but Omer Yode Ani Sheshvuazo Asura. I know it's forbidden for me to swear, and I know the testimony, and I'm swearing anyway. Aval Eini Yodeim Chayvin Ala Korban Olo. But I didn't know what you're chayav, and therefore, in that case, that's also shogeg where you're going to have to bring a korban. Just because you didn't know you bring a korban, you still have to. But Ein Chayavin Al Shigata Greda. Right, you're not chayav on classic shogeg, which means you didn't even know it was usher for you to do this, or you really the classic case is you forgot entirely that you even knew the testimony. So now they're going to say, Lema Tanina, Lidrav Kahana, Ruli Rav Asi. Why don't we say that this supports Rav Kahana, Rav Asi? Remember what they did? Each one said, I swear this is what Rav said. I swear this is what Rav said. Remember we said they're Patur. So why don't we say, if this is what our Mishnah, right, our Mishnah would support this. So they say, Lo. No, our Mishnah is different than that case. Because Afagav Ditnan, that's also they would say, why do you need Rav Kahana, Rav Asi if this case already seems to imply that? Right, where you didn't even remember, right? Just like those rabbis didn't remember what Rav said. They thought they were telling the truth, and they're not chayav. So now they say, because af agav d'tnan, even though it says so in our Mishnah, it's drich. You would still need that case. Why? Salkadat tachamina ha cha hu delokti v'ne'alam de'be'inan shogeg dumia de'mezid. Aval hatam dechti v'ne'alam afilu shigata kol dehu kamashmalan. That was a shvuah bitui, right? They each said, we swear, this is what Rav said. We swear, this is what Rav said. Now there, the pasuk said v'ne'alam. So it would be obvious, let's say it like this. Our pasuk didn't say v'ne'alam, meaning you might be chayav, you might be patur in a case where you're not karov l'mezid, in our case here, where you didn't remember, because our case is really chayav and amazing case. Whereas there, when it says v'ne'alam, you might think, since it's dafka saying you're chayav on shogeg, maybe you're chayav on any shogeg. And therefore, you need a Rav Asi and Rav Kahana's case to teach you, even where you're chayav shogeg, mamash, and it is all about shogeg, still that case of shogeg is too shogeg, and it's off the charts. Okay? Tov, I was hoping we'd get to the Mishnah. Maybe I'll just do the Mishnah. If you have to leave, you can go. Shvor ha'edu ketzad. Let's give a case of shvuah eid. Amar l'shnayim bo v'iduni shvuah she'ein ani yodim l'cha eidut. Okay, somebody says, come testify for me, and bo v'iduni, go testify for me, and they say, shvuah she'ein ani yodim l'cha eidut. Okay, and they say, we swear we don't know anything. O shamru lo, ein ani yodim l'cha eidut, or they don't swear, they just say, we don't know anything about this. And then he says, mashbi ani elechem, I'm going to make you swear to that. V'amru amen. Those two cases are going to be chayav, whether they swore from on their own or he made them swear. Here's a very interesting case. He makes them swear. He says, come on, don't you know testimony? They say, no, we swear we don't. Don't you know testimony? We swear we don't. Okay? He makes them swear five times outside of the court. But then they come to the court while the Beit Din, vehodu, and he comes to court and he says, yes, I do actually know testimony. Pturin, he's patur. Because his five swears that he did outside court, we assume he didn't take them so seriously because he was outside court. Now that he comes to court, which is very interesting, because if he doesn't come to court later, he'll be chayav on those. But since later he comes to court and he admits, I do actually know testimony, so we're not going to be chayav him shvuah eidut. He kind of fixed it. But kaflu, if he goes to Beit Din and he denies it, then chayav, you know, call it chat v'chat. Then he's chayav on every time he took that shvuah. Hishbi alehem chamesh pamim bifnei beitim bekafru. Let's say he made them swear five times in front of the court, and then he denies it. Each time he denied it, enan chayavim elachat. You're only chayav once, because as soon as he denied it the first time in court, all the rest are unnecessary shvuah. Like it didn't mean anything. Amar Rav Shimon, matam ho il veinam yicholim lachzor ulehodot. What's the reason here? There's a concept. What does it say in the Pasukim? Lo yagiv in asavo, no? And they darshan from there. Once he says it, you can't change your testimony. Remember we've seen this? If you say you don't know anything, right, then we're worried that what? They'll intimidate you and they'll make you lie. And then, you know, once you say something under oath, we assume that you're telling the truth and you can't change your testimony. So therefore, all his later shvuot are meaningless because we wouldn't accept it anyway. If he came later and he said, I did know it, we won't accept that. So therefore, it's only the first one. Kafru shnehem ke'echad, shnehem chayavim. Let's say both witnesses come, one, it doesn't mean ke'echad at the exact same time, it means one tol kedei dibor of the next, okay, immediately after the next, they're both chayavim. But if they do a bezeh achar zeh, then what happens? Once one says, I don't know any testimony, well then the second witness is useless, because he can't testify by himself, one it doesn't do anything, so therefore, harishon chayav hasheni patur. The second one's patur, even if he swore, I don't know anything when he does, because his testimony would have been useless anyway. Kafar echad vehode echad. If one denied it and the other said, I know it, hakofer chayav. Okay, so the one who says, I don't know anything is chayav. Hayuba shteki te'edim. Kafra rishona. Okay, this is the case that the Gemara is going to try to explain because it's not so clear what the case is. There were two groups of witnesses. Kafra rishona, the first one said, we don't know anything. Bachar kach kafrashnia, and the second one said, we don't know anything. Shtehem chayavot, mipnei sha'idut yecholah litkayim b'shtehen. So the simple pshat, okay, you'll see the Gemara is going to explain this otherwise, but the simple pshat is that there's one group and another group. It's not like one witness and two witnesses, right, because once one drops, the other two, but each one can be judged independently, and therefore, each one is a unique thing, and they each have to bring shvuah eidut, because each kat is considered its own kat. And again, then it would depend within each kat, Did they testify one immediately after the other, where we view it as each one is chayav, or was there a time lapse, which means already once we know there's no witness of the first, then obviously the second one doesn't have to bring a korban. Okay, but in this case, at least each kat, at least one person from each kat is going to be chayav. Okay.
That's obvious.
What? Right. So that's why the Gemara is going to have to say there's something more to it.